Foundations of Western Civilization, Lecture 11. Virgil and Ovid.
In our last lecture, we talked about Rome and the Roman mission, the Roman self-perceived mission, to rule and to rule well, to rule with law. And we talked about how in Virgil's Aeneid, Aeneas exemplifies that mission, sacrifices personal inclination to that mission, and also how, in many ways, the Aeneid is a contemporary political statement. Augustus taking on the role of Aeneas as the new founder of Rome, as indeed the founder of a better Rome, an improved Rome, a Rome that more fully exemplifies the ideals which Aeneas is devoted to pursuing. All of that is true. Rome did value order. Rome did value law. Virgil, I believe, valued order, law, duty, all of the things that he celebrates, all of the things that he attributes to Aeneas, and all of the things that he attributes by implication to Augustus. These are things worth having. All the more so coming from the civil wars. But, there is another side. What makes the Aeneid something other than a bit of single-minded puffery, of jingoistic propaganda, of poetic self-congratulation, is Virgil's constant and acute awareness of the cost, personal and otherwise, of order, and the difficulty of imposing it, the sense in which order of the sort which Rome at its best exemplifies and which Aeneas exemplifies is something which is purchased by constant discipline and effort in a constant kind of swimming against the tide. Part of this comes in a way that's very pervasive, but very hard to pin to specified text, to this or that moment in the Aeneid. But it's this. The final vision which Virgil seems to exemplify, and the final vision which was characteristic of Roman paganism, the final vision of the way things are, is different not only from what we're used to, but I would argue different from anything that's likely to occur to us as possible. Here's how. The two sort of widest-ranging visions that gain adherence in the contemporary world, our contemporary world, are either theism, the world is completely coherent, morally and otherwise, as a creation of God and governed by God. There's one option. Or, the other option, the world is completely random in a moral sense. Things are the way they are because that's the way stuff is. And humans, we have, as people who are propagandists for this point of view will tell you, we have fortunately overcome the self-congratulatory view that we are the center of things, that we are at the crown of species. We are, in fact, the random result of evolution in a very small planet, one no doubt of zillions of others, which far from being at the center of the universe, is nowhere. Don't delude yourself, boys and girls. There's nothing out there but us, and we don't count for squat. Those are the two alternative views that seem to me to be current in our society. Virgil subscribes to neither one of them, and Rome subscribed to neither one of them. The vision of universal coherence. Everything reflects God. Everything is organized by God. Whether we can see it or not, things finally make sense. That's just not out there.